Heavenly Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for giving us a chance to meet and talk about it. And I pray that, especially Lord, that the words that I have to say and the thoughts in our minds will be pleasing to you and will glorify you. And we ask in the name of Jesus. Amen. So after I'd sort of decided what to talk about, Janet pointed out that's kind of a bummer having a super downer sermon on a Chinese New Year. Hopefully it won't be sort of entirely a super downer sermon, but just bear with me and anyway, whatever. Luke 9:23. There's a slide for that, I think. Luke 9:23, where Jesus says, whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves and take up their cross daily and follow me. So the cross is a symbol of suffering. And one thing that Christians should expect is that we're going to suffer. We might suffer specifically because we're Christians, or we might suffer just because that's what happens to people. And this is basically what we're going to talk about today. This is kind of awkward for me because up until last year, I had a pretty sheltered life, and this verse was kind of theoretical for me. But last year was quite difficult for me, and in fact, it was probably the hardest year of my life by quite a bit. I'm not going to tell you, I can't tell you sort of all about what happened, but I thought I'd share with you a little bit about what I learned through that, some of what I learned through that, and especially about following Jesus when things get tough. And this is quite an awkward sermon also because I know that some of you are much more familiar with suffering, both yourselves and with others. You know, I know Tony and Jenny are here, and they've seen things that I can't even imagine. So we're just going to have to hope that God uses what I say anyway. So often Christians, we talk about suffering as kind of a theological problem, because there is this issue, which is if God is all good and all powerful, which Christians are supposed to believe, then why does he allow people to suffer? And often discussion about suffering is kind of in that context, talking about that problem. And that's worth talking about. We've talked about it a bit, but it's not really, I think there's a better way to frame it, the whole issue, which is when suffering comes, what good can we get out of it? And if life is reasonably good now, then how do we prepare ourselves for when things get difficult, when things get tough? And so those are really the two things I'm going to talk about today. Of course, it'd be great if you guys asked me questions during the service. I mean, I know sometimes we don't usually do that, but it's actually good, I think, if we do. Okay, so the book of Job, which Tony read from. So that is, I think, one of probably the obvious place in the Bible to go if we want to talk about suffering. Now, has anyone done a Bible study on the book of Job? John, of course. Who's read the book of Job? Put your hand up. Okay, quite a few people have read it. That's good. I think it's a pretty awesome book, actually. And I don't know if you guys have read, like, the Peanuts cartoon, but Charles Schulz in the Peanuts cartoons is a character who always likes to quote from the book of Job. We'll talk about the book of Job. And I think that's good. I think it's pretty amazing, kind of extraordinary book. We read from it. I'm not going to... There's a slide for Job that basically, you know, I'm not going to read it again because we just read it. But basically, you know, you see what happens. And of course, after this, the bit that we didn't talk about is, you know, Satan kind of follows through, and so Satan accuses Job of being essentially selfish, worshipping God because it pays, and then and God, because it gets blessings, right? And so God says, okay, we'll take away those blessings and then see what happens. Well, Satan says that, and God says, okay, and that happens. You know, a whole lot of really bad stuff happens to Job and everyone around him. Actually, it's not a good time to be one of Job's friends or family. It's really super bad. But then Satan then accuses Job further and says, well, okay, so he's still worshiping you, but that's only because he's still got his health, which is like the most personal thing for him. And then God says, okay, well, let's try see what happens if we take that away. And then so Satan takes that away, and then the rest of the book is about what happens with Job and his friends and so on. So, one of the interesting things about the book of Job is that in the book, Job never finds out why any of this stuff happens. It just happens to him. But we do find out because of this preface to the book here. We do know why this particular suffering happened to Job. And I think one way to look at what's happening here is that there's a question about who Job really is. Is he a guy who is basically worshipping God because he's selfish? Is he worshipping God because it pays for him personally? Because it has been paying for him personally, right? Or maybe he worships God when it's convenient, but when things get really tough, he'll give it up because it's just too hard. And he doesn't, it's just too hard to love God when all these terrible things are happening. And I think those are really fair questions, actually. I mean, especially, Satan's asking the questions, but those are, I think, kind of reasonable questions that to ask about each one of us. And I think we should probably we've thought about those questions ourselves. Who's thought about that? Who's asked themselves those questions? I mean, I have. Some of you guys have. Yeah, okay. I think that's kind of pretty reasonable. And I guess the good news is that suffering will help us answer those questions. Yay. Another way, looking at this, if you had a life, if your life has no suffering, it never does, and or your whole life, that would be great, right? Super great. Except that at the end, I think you'd hardly know anything about yourself. You would really not know who you are. And I think that's a problem, and I think that's one of the reasons why, according to the book of Job, it's one of the reasons why suffering is a thing, why it happens, and what happens to us. We sing, how we have songs, they have lines like, I'll love you forever and forever I'll sing. You know that song? What's that song? I forget the name of that song. Is that true? When I sing that song, I often think, well, is that true? Can I really sing that? Should I really sing that? Can I sing it with confidence? Obviously, if you're nearly dead, you can probably sing that okay. Because there's not, you don't have much to, not much to go. But if otherwise, it's hard to say. And I think it would be great to be able to sing that with confidence. And I can tell you that I'm a little bit more confident when I sing that now than I was this time last year. And so I think that's one of the blessings that we can get. Any questions about that part? No. You should try to ask a question. It'd be really good. But okay. All right. So let's move on a bit. Let's look at Proverbs 3, 5 to 6. Yep. Okay, so there's this verse, right? So, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding, and in all your ways submit to him, and he will make your paths straight. So, we're supposed to trust God and rely on him for everything. All right? Anyone disagree with that? Good. That's actually really hard to do for me, because when life is proceeding smoothly and you feel like everything's under control, I've got things under control, God. I'm happy with, let's just keep doing things just my way. And yet, we're not supposed to live like that. And the times when I can honestly say that I've depended on God fully and prayed most wholeheartedly, are when my life feels like, I'm about to go over some kind of cliff. And, you know, basically, you know, God has to take away the, you know, my, what I'm doing and my own confidence in my ability to run my own life so that I can actually, you know, obey these verses and actually trust God. And, you know, when I've had to pray that, you know, I can't cope to God, that, you know, I can't cope anymore, you know, just let me, you know, give me your strength. That's when, that's when I've been able to sincerely do that. And so, yeah, I mean, basically that's it. I mean, it's a strange kind of blessing, but I do feel, I have felt it, and I do feel it. All right, let's move on to 1 Thessalonians. So this one, yeah, so 1 Thessalonians 5, you know, rejoice always, pray continually, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. So this is a bit, maybe, yeah, this is kind of a strange one too, but one of the things that I think is true for everyone is that we very easily take things for granted. And I think the best example of this for me is getting married. So when you first get married, like, life is like totally amazing. It's like pow, you know, life satisfaction, you know, up a level up. You know, it's just incredible. And then you slowly get used to it, and after a couple of years you like start complaining about toilet seats and all kinds of stuff. And it's like, but nothing, you know, it's not that things have gotten worse. You know, things are still actually amazing. You just got used to it and you started taking it for granted. And that's, I think, one of the big challenges that we all face. So the question is, if that happens to you, how do you reboot that and get back to appreciating, you know, the amazing stuff in your life? What do you think the answer is? Anyone? You want to guess what the answer is? You guys, come on, you're lame. Shout it out. Yeah, that's right. Okay. All right. So the answer is, well, one answer, apart from going for another honeymoon, is suffering, right? If you lose that stuff temporarily or even permanently, I think you'll appreciate what you had. And if it comes back, you'll appreciate it again. And I think after, especially, I think once you have that, memory that, you know, this stuff, you know, comes and, you know, the Lord gives and the Lord takes away, I think it makes it harder to, you know, you'll probably take it for granted more slowly next time. I feel that in my own heart and life. Yeah, I mean, it sounds a bit paradoxical, right? That suffering can make you more joyful, and more thankful, but I actually do feel that actually works out in practice. And so that's something to hold on to. Okay, so this is going to be a quick sermon, which is good. So I've talked about a few of the blessings that can happen. Now I'm going to talk a little bit about ways that we can prepare ourselves for this stuff, right? Like, some of you maybe are already in the middle of suffering, but many of you, especially younger people, like me, are like, probably, you know, we haven't really had to deal with a lot of stuff yet. And so, like, what can we do so that we're to get ready? Because once you plunge into it, it can be pretty hard. And so we want to be ready. So I think the first thing is, you know, 1 Thessalonians, give thanks in all circumstances. And that means that when suffering comes, we should be prepared and know that we need to look for what's the good stuff that's happening around, you know, in that. What can we get out of that situation, and what can we help others to get out of our own suffering? And that may sound kind of crazy, and it is hard, because when suffering happens, you get very self-centered. You start thinking a lot about your problems, about what's happening to you, and how, you know, whether it's unfair, you complain to God, that sort of thing. But if we take a step back and say, hey, this is bad, but something good can happen from it for me and others, what can we do? If we know to do that and we practice doing that, then I think we can make good things happen. Probably better to say, God can make good things happen through us. So we can think about that and practice it. Another really important thing is that we need to internalize the lesson that the things that are true about everything, about God, about us, don't really depend on our personal circumstances. You hear a lot of stories about people who go through the motions of being a Christian and then encounter some kind of terrible personal suffering and decide that, well, actually, I guess God can't be loving after all. I don't think there is a loving God after all, because now I'm actually suffering. My kids are reading this series of teen fiction books called the Gone series. Anyone read that? Avery, put your hand up. Okay. So it's a somewhat average teen fiction series, which means it's immensely popular. And but there's a main character in that book who, for the first few books, I'm going to spoil it for you because you haven't read it, probably not going to. For the first few books, this character is pretty awesome and kind of pretty strong Christian, and then later on some really bad stuff happens, and then she's like, okay, don't believe in God anymore, because a loving God wouldn't have allowed this to happen to me. It is a fiction book, but it happens in real life also. And this always seems a bit off to me. Like, I understand that people have hard times and people make mistakes in those situations. But the thing is, standing here, we all know right now, we should know, that a lot of people are suffering out there in the world. All right, a lot of Christians, a lot of non-Christians, for all kinds of reasons. All right, that's a fact, and we all, I'm assuming, are aware of that. We also profess that we believe in the loving, that God loves us, that Jesus died for our sins, and God's going to redeem the world through him. So we know those things, right? And to change our minds about those facts just because the suffering starts happening to us instead of to somebody else, to me seems like a little bit self-centered. It means that we don't really care, we don't really understand what those other people are going through until it's really happening to us. And I sympathize with that sort of thing, but it doesn't, I think, quite make sense. And so, of course, what it really means often is that the people who lose this faith in these circumstances, somehow they probably never really believed. Maybe they never really believed in the suffering of others, or more likely, they never really believed that God, you know, is who we say he is. And I think we should test ourselves now. We should bring up these questions in our Bible studies and grapple with them, so that when things get tough, that all those convictions don't sort of get washed away because it's suddenly happening to us and not other people. I just encourage us to all do that. Like, we've, in the calm before the storm, you've got a chance to think things through and challenge each other. And you can think about the answers, I think, a lot more clearly. Because the reality is, when you are in the midst of suffering, you don't, your judgment is impaired. And it may feel like your judgment before was impaired, but really, you know, it's when you're really having a hard time that you're most likely to make, I think, mistakes. Certainly for me, that's true. Okay, next slide. All right, so this is a really key verse, I think, for Christians. So 1 Corinthians, Paul says, God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. But when you are tempted, he will also provide a way out so that you can endure it. So one thing to remember when you read the New Testament is that the word tempted is actually generally the same Greek word as the word for tested. So we could read this as tempted or tested. And it actually, both, and it's just slightly different words in English, but both of those words actually work. Both those interpretations work for what I'm about to say. A big temptation that I faced last year was to think that this is all too hard and no one could blame me if I started acting like a super jerk, all right? In other words, what I'm going through is too hard to endure, and it's understandable and acceptable if I sin. And that is more or less, by the way, what Job's friends tell him in the book of Job. They say basically, this is horrible. What you're going through is terrible. You should just curse God and die. And they're basically telling him, yeah, you can't be expected to endure this. But 1 Corinthians 10 says that's not true. It's never true. That God's promise to always be with us, he's promised to make things right, either in our own lives now or in eternity. And so we can never honestly say that, oh, this is too hard, I'm just going to sin. We never can. And it's a kind of a hard thing. And in some ways, it's a blessing, really, right? But in some ways, it starts to feel like a curse. Because you're like, I really, really want to give up. But God says that I don't have, I really want to give up and be able to say that I had to, so that I'm not guilty. But God says that, no, you don't have to. That is a challenge, to keep feeling that it's a blessing, not a curse. But it's either way, it's true. And in fact, what I was doing is kind of lying to myself, right? Like telling myself this lie that I can't keep going. And that because it would be easier, just because it would be easier to give up. And so there's a lie. It's very, very easy to tell yourself and to believe. But we have to not do that. We have to carry on. We have to hold on to God's promises. So a good illustration of this that I actually learned from was running. Okay, so when I get to the end of a really hard run, I think it's true for everyone, but certainly true for me, it's really all about pain management, right? Like your body can keep going, but you don't want to because it's hurting and you want it to stop. And so your body's kind of telling you, your body starts to lie to you and say, you're feeling terrible and the only way to make it feel good again is to stop. But the interesting thing is that the pain actually kind of comes in waves for me. I don't know, is it true for you, Celia? I don't know. Pain kind of comes in waves. So you go through this moment, you have this moment where it's like, this is really hurting, and it's going to keep hurting like this until, until the end of the race, and you've still got like 5 kilometers to go or whatever, and it's just going to be like, another half an hour of agony. And it's like, you should give up. But the reality is that it's coming in waves, and if you ignore that and keep going, it'll actually recede, and you'll start thinking about something else. And then it'll recede for a while, and you'll feel okay. You might feel good, and then later on the next wave will come, and you'd go through that again. But the point is that again, your body, your mind is kind of lying to you and saying you feel super bad, and it's going to be like this forever, and so you should just give up. But this is not true, and just it's a matter of recognizing that and keep on going. And things will get better. And, when you're running, you don't even have God's promise that it's going to get better, but in life we do. And so you kind of just get... And one of the things you can learn from this, right? You get into this pattern where, like, after you've experienced this a few times and a few runs, you know that's going... when that feeling comes, you know it's not true. And so that's another way in which some amount of suffering can, like, teach us that we don't need to give up, and that if we endure, that it will get better. And we can hold on to that. And that's spiritual growth, right, when that happens to us. That's roughly it. The best promise of God is that our sins are forgiven, right, through Jesus. For those of us who are Christians and are following Jesus, our sins are forgiven. And that should be the most important thing in the world to us. And if it is, then the good news of Christianity, as opposed to other world views, is that forgiveness of sins doesn't depend on us. It's through grace. And so we don't have to worry about what would happen if our salvation depended on our works. And then, when we're going through these trials and temptations, we might give up and our salvation will be stripped away. That's not you know, that's not the way it is. You know, we can trust Jesus, and so those promises will remain valid, that we will carry on being, you know, loved by God, even if we stumble, right? Like, even if we give up and give into the lie, we actually give up, we sin, that sin is forgiven. And so imagine how hard it would be if you're going through these terrible trials and you believe that if you stumble, even, you know, then, you know, you're condemned. That would make it so much harder. But we're in a better place with Jesus, and that also is something we should be holding on to and preparing ourselves to hold on to when times get tough. That's pretty much it. So, have any questions? Anyone? Okay. All right. Okay, let's pray. Lord, you have prepared us with so many blessings, Lord. We've got your word. We can learn so much from the Bible, and you've given us the forgiveness of sins through Jesus. You made it available to us, and hopefully most people here are following Jesus, so their sins can be, so their sins are forgiven. And Lord, I ask you to remind us of those things when difficult times come. Help us to prepare ourselves to exercise and to grow spiritually, so that when we're faced with what we can't imagine now, that we will be strong, and that we will not forget, that we will not believe the lies that we tell ourselves. I pray this for myself, and I thank you that you have brought us, you know, each of us individually in our journeys, you brought us all here to this point where we are, and I pray that we'll feel your presence now and in the future, especially when we really, really need it. We just adore you, Lord, for being God, and for being the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.